today to come on up, and Richard and Biddy and Kath. Kath is an elder from Awakened Church. Karen. Okay, as you know, this is this truly is a momentous occasion. I don't think, has this happened within churches before, where churches partner in this way in New Zealand? Is there examples of that happening? Can you think of any that...
Breaking new ground.
Or breaking new ground. I know that there used to be a situation where we'd have circuit pastors that would go around different churches. That would be something similar back in the day. But probably in this modern context, we've never seen where churches are partnering together to work side by side. Amen? How powerful is that? I think it's fantastic. And do you want to speak into that at all?
Yeah, it's quite a unique situation. And especially for us, it's rather wonderful that Michael should want to extend himself and drag Ali along with him. Sorry, Ali. Well, poor wives don't know quite what they've married sometimes. It's just wonderful that you should want to serve God in this way, Michael, because we're looking forward to it. It's been something that's been happening now for within us probably for the last 8 to 10 months, as we said last Sunday. And for you now to be that vision that God has planted here, it's absolutely fantastic, because he has an amazing gift on your life, Michael. I don't know you particularly well, but the times that we have met with you, we can see that absolute sense of the Lord's Spirit on your heart, and that he will actually take you to places that you no longer have any control over,
right.
because it's his hand.
Amen. You get a verse, baby.
Actually, I shared this with Michael during the week, but I was praying for Michael and Ellie and the other morning, and I got this word, and I thought it really does speak about what's happening and what is going to happen. And it's in Joshua 23. The Lord your God has fought for you against your enemies, and I have allotted to you as your homeland all the land of the nations yet unconquered, as well as the land of those we have already conquered. From the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, this land will be yours. The Lord your God will himself drive out all the people living there now. You'll take possession of their land, just as the Lord your God promised you. And it goes down and it says about claiming the land, the land that is ahead. So claiming the land that has already been allotted and taking that as if it was already yours, even though the enemy's in that land. And I felt that was really, really strong for Ali and Michael, is that there is land that God has already allotted, and it's already yours, and it's just a matter of you seeing that, as God imparts that to you, seeing that and just stepping forward into it. And this is part of what is happening. Mm. It's really exciting.
Amen. Amen. I sure also believe that we're going to see, as Karen just said, what's happening here going further and further, spreading further and further, and all of Wellington being affected. There goes a step of faith, but I believe it. That there's, instead of a war where it's fought with guns, we're talking about a war that's in the spiritual. We're talking about the lives of men and women and children all through this valley, and that's the mission. Amen. Is that true? That's the mission.
Amen.
Let's believe God for that. So I think it'd be good to pray for you both, and effectively, it's eldership, but it's leadership, and we're all on board. You last weekend, you got, as a church, you also brought this before the congregation, and it was unanimous, 100%, everyone on board.
To be honest, we actually forgot. At our AGM, but we'd already talked about it beforehand.
Okay.
Yeah, so yep, church is on board. And
last Sunday here, like, was everybody was saying, "Yep, this is it." That's really cool.
Yeah, yep, good.
Right. Fantastic.
Kath, did you want to say?
Did I want to say something? I've been thinking I might be asked. I think an aspect of Michael's gifting is that he inspires people to believe in what God has for their lives. So don't look at him and think he's going to do it all. His aim is that you're going to do it all. But that you will do it with the same spirit that he has. So you need to listen for his heart. He doesn't have all the gifts because they're within the body. But he inspires a wide range of gifts and abilities. And you catch his heart and it will all happen. Because that's what God's given him to do.
Right, let's gather around you and pray for you, Michael. And Ali, yes. Thanks, darling. Oh, Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this wonderful couple. Lord, that you have taken charge of their lives and that they know your incredible blessing on them. Father, we're so particularly honoured that they should want to come and share with us and impart their vision upon us. And Lord, we just pray that Michael's heart is always protected by you, Heavenly Father. That you hold that hedge of protection over him and all that he does, Ali and his family. Because Lord, it is a battle. You know that, but you equip each one of us with the gifts that enable us to battle forward for you, Jesus. And Father, it's the souls that are yet to be won, the souls that are here that will carry that mission forward. So Father, we just thank you for the gift that you've brought upon Michael's life, Dali's life, and the way in which they will just enable each one of us to see that spirit of you, Jesus, in each one. And we just commit him to you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that in the word it's clear that there are elders and leaders. It's your way, Lord, that you'd raise up leaders to, Lord, affect the body. Lord, that you called many and various, Lord, to be the ones that would be the shepherds and be the ones that would stand out the front, that would cast vision. And we embrace this, Lord. We see it, Lord, as being true to your word. And Father God, that even as Kath said, Lord, that it's not about one person doing everything, but it's about enabling us all. And we pray, Father God, that we would take the challenge and take the call to be active, not passive. Lord, that we would be supporting through action, not just intention. And Lord, today what we ask, Lord, is as Michael becomes an elder, Lord, a senior leader here at Link Church, that Father God, he would have our total support. Father God, that we would, with expectation, see and believe for the fruit, Lord, of being obedient to you, Lord, and being sincerely leaning into the mission that you've given us. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
Father, thank you for the way that you have arranged the body. With Christ as the head and every part essential. And we pray for Michael and Ali and the part they will play here in Lower Hutt. Lord, we pray for their words to fall on good ground, on soil that's ploughed up, on hearts that are ready to hear something different and to do something different. Father, your vision here involves encountering people where they are, not sitting here waiting for them to come here where we are. Father, we ask for hearts that will go out, hearts that will notice others in everyday life. Father, we pray for a fresh sense of what it is to walk the way that Jesus walked and to be kingdom people. And I pray for Michael, particularly, to catch from your heart what he needs to say and do as he works here. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we just welcome Ellie and Michael, Lord. We just welcome them here. We are so thankful that you have blessed us here in Lower Hutt with these two wonderful, beautiful people, Lord. And we just thank you that through this journey that we've been on, there was an answer there all the time. And you made it happen, Lord. And we just thank you that we are ready, Lord. We are ready for this wonderful couple to be part. And we just thank you, Lord, that we are here at Lower Hutt, greater than just here. We are part of something very big, Lord. And we just ask your blessing on Ellie and Michael as they step into this role, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Father, we're just so grateful for the work that you are doing and continue to do. We thank you for bringing this couple, this family, to serve us in this leadership role. And God, we just humbly submit to your authority and to your way. God, we honor you, and we honor this couple, we honor this family. We thank you, Lord, for them. We thank you, God, that you have such a huge heart for this city. God, that we can be a part of carrying out your mission. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Whoops. Curtis, Michael, welcome. Welcome, brother. It's just wonderful to have you here. And we just know that you've got some very special things to bring and to challenge us with. So as your dad said, you think outside the square. And so we look forward to thinking outside the square with you.
Cool.
Awesome. Great. And Ali, welcome too. Welcome, sister.
Bring this back a bit. Yeah, I'm a bit scared of this thing. All right. Yeah, I might just take my jacket off. Can you pass my stuff back? It's getting hot, all this hugging. All right. It's good to be here. Good to be here. And, yeah, just, you know, Ali and I, we're excited and looking forward to all that God is wanting to do here. And but you'll probably see a lot more of me than of Ali. But just know that as a couple, she may not be doing what I'm doing, but she's also, she is making the same sacrifice that we're making. We do that together. So yeah, yeah. So Vision Sunday. It's good. I'm glad to be here. I'm excited, and I want to open with prayer. All right. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we love you. And God, we just, we're so grateful that you love us. Lord, we're just so grateful for that, Lord. And God, we want to be a church that represent you well in the city. Lord, we want to be a beacon of hope, Lord. And so, Lord, we just pray that this morning we would hear from you. Lord, it's not about me or my words, but Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are well able to speak far further than I could ever speak. So we invite you and we ask you to speak this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Cool. All right, so this morning is not really about my vision, because my vision is that you will have a vision. And just like what Cass said, that's what my heart is. That every single one of us as a church would capture what God has birthed inside all of us as individuals. Because God has birthed something in all of us, that all of us carry something that he intends for us to do, that he intends to use us for in seeing his kingdom expanded. And that's my vision, is that you all capture that and run with that and empowered by that and inspired by that. Yeah. So that's it. I'll sit down now. No, I've got a bit more. One thing I will say, though, is that whatever it is that God has birthed in you will always come from and always lead to joy. And that's how you know if it's a God thing. If it comes from joy and it leads to joy, then it's a God thing. God's mission was never given to us for us to do out of obligation. And we should never be in a place where we're being obliged to do what we feel like God's called us to do. It should always come from and always lead to joy. And that's how we know that we're doing what God has called us to do. So we had this vision statement at Awaken, and I think it's universal. It works for wherever we are, and it's simply to see our city saturated in the love of God. And the way that we see that we can do that is that I want to see the church live by this statement, that we are not here to build a church, we are here to bless our city, and when we do that, God will build his church. So like Richard said, and my mum and dad are here, he was talking to my dad this morning, said, I think outside the square. I don't know if I think outside the square, I think backwards. So I look at things from a backwards point of view. You know, my job is not to build the church, that's God's job. I'm pretty sure he said that in the Bible. I'm here to bless the city. And when we bless the city, God will build his church, because people are coming to know him through the goodness of God that we carry. And that's what it's about. The goal and the objective is not to build a church. I'm not here to build a big church in Lower Hutt. I'm not here for that. I'm here to see Lower Hutt transformed, and that's what it's about. And we do that through what God has placed within us, what we carry, what he's put in us, and what we're empowered to do through the Holy Spirit. So one of the questions that I've been asking myself lately is the church the mission, or is church the missionary? Is church the mission, or is church the missionary? And sometimes we can see that church on a Sunday is the mission. You know, if we make the church really cool on Sunday, then people will come. And we kind of put all our focus into church on Sunday and making that the mission. Whereas God has actually called the church to be a missionary. And so if we let's sort of take a look at what it actually means to be a missionary. A missionary is someone who goes into an unfamiliar culture to bring a message of hope and change the atmosphere in that place. Right, that's what a missionary does. Now, if we we were to say that church is the mission, then we are actually asking the community to be the missionary, because we're asking them to go into an unfamiliar place that is uncomfortable for them. And so when we say come to church, we're saying, can you please be the missionary? Whereas the Bible actually says the church is the missionary and we are the ones to go. We are the ones that are called to go, not asking them to be the missionary. We are the missionary. So that's the question that I've been asking myself. You know, is church the mission, or is it the missionary? We are absolutely meant to be the missionary. We are the ones called to go. You know, the Great Commission in Matthew 28, it says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This is Jesus talking. Therefore, gather in a building and make disciples of all nations. Oh, hang on, it doesn't say that. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So the call was to go, not to gather. And I'm not saying that gathering is wrong. Gathering is very, very important. We see it right throughout Scripture, where, especially in the book of Acts, where the church gathered together and they were in one heart and one mind. So gathering is extremely important. But if there is no going, then the gathering loses its purpose. Right? We gather for a purpose. When we come together on a Sunday, we're gathering for a purpose. And I believe that through the Holy Spirit, we gather with one heart and one mind, with a purpose to go. If there's no going, then we're missing the point of the church. So that's really what my heart is about seeing a church that has a passion to go, has a passion to be reaching its community. And I look at that differently as well. I think in the past I've seen, you know, the way to do missionary stuff within our community or to reach our community is to put on a great event and people will come. But again, we're called to go, not to ask them to come. So we've got to refuse to see mission as an event or activity. Mission is not an event and it's not an activity. Mission should be just a part of who we are. We should be missional by nature in every area of our life. Wherever we are, there is the mission. Wherever we are, there is the mission. If you look at... Oh, no, I won't go there. It'll be too long. So we'll have a look at the book of Acts, though. We've been preaching on the book of Acts for the last few months, and we'll look at Acts 5 in a minute. But if you look at the book of Acts, we see incredible growth. You know, the first sermon ever preached by Peter, 3,000 people got saved. You know, like, massive amount of growth, and people were being added to the church daily. Now, the thing that I see about the church growth in the early church was that it was all incidental. It was never the mission. It was never what they were intending to go for. They were never went out to say, let's build big churches. They just went out with the mission in their heart. Incidentally, lots of people got saved. And it was a byproduct of the church being a missionary. People getting saved was just a byproduct of the church. And when I say the church, I mean all of us, every single one of us. Growth in the church is just a byproduct of us all being on mission. So if you look at Acts 5, verse 12 to 16, see, I like when I read scriptures, I like to see the backwardsness of it all. But I don't know if you realize, but the kingdom of God is totally backwards to the way that we naturally think. And you know, it's like, okay, if I want to live in God's blessing, that means I've got to give lots away. Right. That's totally backwards to the way that we think. You know, let's hold more for ourselves. You know, everything with God is often backwards. He's like, how much are you willing to do it my way to actually get the, you know, what walk in the blessing. So anyway, so let's look at Acts 5 and verse 12, and it says this: the apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. So we're seeing there that all the believers are gathering, and you know, that's what we're doing on Sunday. We're gathering together to worship him, to pray, to hear the word. So we can see that that was happening all through the book of Acts. Now it says this in verse 13: no one else dared join them. So that all the people are gathering together, all the believers are gathering together, and no one else dared join them. Isn't that strange? No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets, laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. So they're all gathering, but no one dared join them. Nevertheless, they grew.
Yeah.
How? Yeah. How did they grow? As the church was going. They weren't necessarily, the numbers weren't necessarily being added to them when they were gathering. The numbers were being added to them throughout the week because the church was going. Every time that they gathered, there was more. Why? Because the church during the week was out there preaching the gospel, talking to people about how good God was out there on the mission. Wherever they were was the mission. If you travel on the train to work every day, welcome to your mission field. They can't get away from you. What a great opportunity, I reckon. Especially when it's busy, you know. You like sit down and that person can't sit anywhere else. There's nowhere else to sit. It's a great opportunity. But anyway, the point is that the church grows when it goes. And so, you know, I just think that's totally what it's all about. So I wanted to share a little bit sort of about the way that I see church, just so you can sort of get a handle on that, because I might always preach backwards to maybe what you've thought or whatever, but I like to do that. I have a video, but I've been told that it's not going to work. Is that correct? No video? You can try it. Forget it. No, it's all good. The theme that I'm really believing for this year is better together. That life and mission are better together. And on the video, it was a video of a guy called A.W. Tozer who had this great quote that I really love. And he said, have you ever considered that 100 pianos tuned to the same tuning fork are more in tune than if they'd been individually tuned to each other? So 100 pianos tuned to the same tuning fork would be more in tune than if they were individually tuned to each other. Because as you tune a piano, it gets slowly worse and worse. As you know, by the time you got to 100, the end one would be way out of tune from the first one. And he said it's the same for believers. 100 worshippers gathered together with their eyes fixed on God are more in heart together than if they were to strive for unity. See, unity in the church isn't about us trying to get together. You know, we need to do more community and fellowship stuff so that we can be more unified. It actually happens when all of our eyes are fixed on Christ. That's when we're truly unified. And that's what I'm believing for this year, you know, for Awaken and for here, is that together we would catch a hold of what it means to actually be doing life and mission together. Be doing life and mission together. And life and mission are always better together because it's the way that God made it. And we won't truly be unified together unless we're doing mission together. Because that's actually when unity starts to happen. You know, I heard someone say, you know, you can preach vision all you want, but it's not until you put the strategy in place that people decide whether they're going to get on board or not. Because it's the strategy, it's the mission, it's actually when we're doing it that we grow together. And so if we can be missionally minded and missionally focused together, community and fellowship just happens naturally. It also gives us purpose for gathering. See, if we're all together on the same mission, when we gather, there's purpose for why we pray, there's purpose for why we worship, there's purpose for why we study. Mission is the key element. And no wonder that's why God told us to go. I think he knew that this was a key for the church. And I think the enemy knows if he can stop the church going, he'll stop the church growing. So this theme, it's all about understanding that we can only do what God has called us to do when we do it together. That we were made for relationship with God and we were made for relationship with each other, and we're all together, one heart, one mind, called to the mission. I love when I look at the book of Acts, you know, and I think the book of Acts, you know, that's the normal Christian life. That's what it's all about. And the purpose of the book of Acts, Luke, he wrote the book of Acts. The purpose of it, the sole purpose of the book of Acts, was to show what the mission is. It's a missional book. The whole book is about the mission of God being fulfilled through Spirit-filled believers. That's what it's all about. There's no there's no sort of church structure stuff. You know, all the epistles are full of Paul addressing the churches and trying to help the churches through issues and all that sort of stuff. The book of Acts doesn't have that stuff because it's the book of mission. And it's the first book. It's the most important. You know, we've got to see that as this is what we've got to be doing. And then we go through the epistles to see how we do it, you know, and when we're faced with issues, you know, what did Paul say to the church in Corinth about this issue, and you know, that sort of thing. So the thing that I see in the book of Acts is that the normal Christian life is unavoidably missional, and it's unavoidably together. Right through the book of Acts, they were all together, they were doing mission together, and they were doing life together. So pursuing true unity, it only really comes when we're all pursuing God. So when we place our focus and attention on the King, we discover his heart. And what's at the heart of the King, of our King? Is it his heart for the lost? The closer we get to God, the closer we discover his heart, the more we will discover that he loves his lost children. That's his passion. So the closer we get to him, the more our heart should be broken for the lost. It's just a natural occurrence. The more we spend time with God, the more that we are broken for the lost. The more we know him, the more we are captured by his heart. And his heart is for the lost. Ellie and I had a revelation of this through probably what has been the hardest time in our life. And in late December 2012, Ellie and I, we lost a baby quite late in our pregnancy, and without a doubt was the toughest time in our life. And I remember when we buried him, and I was hugging Dad, and he said, "I don't ever want to have to do this again," because it was honestly the toughest thing. So it was definitely one of those times that we really had to press into God and just, you know, discovering him in a whole new way. You know, finding out what it really meant to find our strength from him and find him as our refuge. And during that time, Ellie had an incredible revelation about God's love for his lost children. You know, we were desperately hurting for our son that we'd lost. And, you know, for us, we'd formed him, you know, we'd nurtured him and we'd named him, we'd loved him. It was even though he wasn't born yet, he was totally ours. He was totally with us, and God said to Ellie, how you feel for your lost child is how I feel for each child of mine that is lost. He says, I knew them since before they were born. I loved them. I care for them. I have a plan for them. But right now they're lost. See, you see, at the core of the heart of our Father is an undying and unrelenting passion for his lost children. Do you know that he called us to bring them home? The church, that's who he has given for his lost and broken world. That's who he has given. He's given us. We are plan A. There is no plan B. He's called us to represent him, to be his hands and feet, to call his children home. That's the mission. In John 17, Jesus prays a prayer, and he prays it for us. He says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I and them and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Now Jesus was praying here, my desire is that the church would be one. One in heart, one in mind. Together. And he says, then the world will know that you have sent me. Now it's I don't know if we realize, but our ability to be together, to love one another, to care for one another, to nurture one another and encourage one another, it's almost like it's an evangelistic strategy of God. You know, when we do encounter people, and I mean, we've had people come into our church and they've said to me, everyone loves each other. I've never seen this before. I've never seen people that love each other so much and care for one another so much. See, that attracts people because it's what the world is missing. They don't experience that anywhere else. See, our togetherness in heart and mind and our love for one another is one really, really important way that we actually represent the nature of God. He, our triune God, is together. The ultimate example of what unity is, and we're called to represent him and represent him well. And so our ability to be together, one heart, one mind, together on the mission, doing life together, is actually a great example of who God is, showing people around us how much he loves us, how much we love him, and how much we love each other. The crazy thing is we're all so weird. Talking to Mum last night about it, Mum, Dad, and they were saying, you know, it's like God's chucked us all into one big melting pot and said, get along together. But the thing is that we've got to realize that is actually impossible without the Holy Spirit. It's actually the Holy Spirit that brings us together. And it's also the mission that keeps us focused. Matthew Barnett from Dream Center, he said, you won't find a church with a great cause arguing about the carpet. They just don't care. It's not about the colour of the carpet or the colour of the walls inside a building. It's about the lost. It's what's going on out there. All right. Is this all right? Realize I've got lots of notes, so I'm just gonna. I think I'll close with this. So we're all called, we're called into a covenant relationship with God. And, you know, we talk about the old covenant, the new covenant. I'm not going to get into that. But if we break down what a covenant relationship is, it's where, anyway, with our covenant relationship with God, it's just like a marriage where we say, all of me is yours and all of you is mine. Right, that's what happens when we come into a relationship with God. He says, all of me is yours. It's all yours. Now I want all of you. And that's what it's about. And it's the most beautiful exchange. Because he says, I'm going to give you all of me, which is just incredible. You know, it's all these great things that he is. And then he says, right, I want all of you. I want your pain. I want your hurt. I want your unforgiveness. I want your bitterness. I want your wounded places. I want to take them, and I want to take them to the cross so that you don't have to carry them anymore. That's what happens when we come into relationship with God. It's the most amazing covenant. And unfortunately, I see so often in the church where we think that we're entitled to hold on to those things. You know, we have this spirit of entitlement that says, no, I'm entitled to hold on to my anger because I've been hurt. That's mine. I'm entitled to that. But actually God says, no, you're not entitled to that, because when you give me your life, that's what I want to take from you. I want to take those hurt places and those broken places, and I want to take them to the cross. See, the spirit of entitlement holds on to what was, but God's spirit gives us what is to come. It gives us what he sees for us. And so this exchange that takes place is so important in how we live our life as believers. See, we're no longer entitled to carry our pain, our anxiety, our fear, our worry. They're not ours to carry anymore. But you're entitled to be full of joy. You're entitled to live a victorious life. You're entitled to live free of shame and guilt. You're entitled to make history. We're entitled to change a city. Isn't it a beautiful exchange? See, we're all entitled to carry a vision. We're all entitled to be change makers and to shape history. We're all entitled to that, every single one of us. You know, and I feel that we need to get away from professionalism in the church. Because what it does, it creates a culture that says we come, we sit, we sing, we pay, we go home. And the pastor does all the real Christian work. That's not the church. That is not the church. And if that's the culture that I find myself in, you know, like I just want to quit, because it's just not the church. I'm not interested in leading a church that has that kind of culture. You know, I feel like somehow we've reduced the pinnacle of the Christian life is to paying tithes and serving on the door. No, but it's not the pinnacle of Christianity. It's the normal Christian life is outrageously generous, extremely purposeful, and totally fulfilling. That's the normal Christian life. We are all entitled to make history. That is the normal Christian life. It's not that you need to find something extraordinary to do. You just need to find something ordinary to do it, and do it in a way that it's never been done before. See, I see a church that sees a need and fills that need. I see a church that realizes that they are someone and God wants to use them. Now, there's a lady in Mum and Dad's church who has a sister who is in Melbourne, and one day, I think it was on the news, she saw that, the amount of suicides that were happening in Melbourne in the teenagers and that sort of thing, and she was so angered by it and just like, oh, why doesn't someone do something about this? And she went to sleep that night, and God woke her up and said, hey, you're someone. And she started to get a download of a program. And she got up and started writing it all down and put it all down. And she put together a program that is now going throughout schools in Melbourne. She's met with the Prime Minister. She's met with the Mayor of Melbourne. And it's a program that is just having huge inroads into the colleges in Melbourne. She just woke up one night and God said, hey, someone, I've got a mission for you. See, we don't know what God wants to use us for. All of us have a purpose. All of us have something that God has birthed within us. And it's just, sometimes we've just got to say, hey, God, what is that? Can you show me what that is? Or maybe we just see something and we get angry about it and we go, someone's got to do something about it. I think we've got to remind ourselves that we are someone. God is not looking for some great person. He's just looking for someone that's willing. Just someone that is silly enough to say yes. He'll do the rest. All right, shall we get the music team back up, eh? I believe that when the church unites for a common God-given cause, it is unstoppable, unrelenting, and irresistible. And that's what I see. That's what I see for the church. A church that gets a hold of who God has called them to be as individuals, but also corporately. You know, what is God calling Link Church to? What is it that Link Church has been called to for this city? What is it? You know, there's people out there that are just waiting for Link Church to stand up. You know, and God's just waiting for us to go. Because there's people that He's set aside to be reached by every single one of us in some way, shape, or form. You know, I believe that we know that we've achieved one heart and one mind when our passion for the loss outweighs our desire for earthly comforts. You know, when there's something within us that just cares so deeply for the loss, rather than whether, you know, the chairs are comfortable at church or whatever. You know, I heard that that's the number one thing that people like about church is how comfy the chairs are. What's going on if that's what the church cares about, you know? We had a newcomers dinner last night and we put out a thing just saying, you know, what questions do you have about the church? And apparently quite a few people said, we hate the chairs. So I said, great, we're not changing them then. All right, I want to finish with a hard question. If our church, Link Church, Lower Hutt, was removed from the community, would we be missed? Would we be missed? So I see a church so united and focused on God's mission that the community around it would feel the effects if it was removed. The second question that I want to ask you is, does that question move you? Does it concern you? You know, that question, it concerns me deeply. It really does. It concerns me deeply. And, you know, maybe you're here this morning and you might say, well, that's your job to be concerned. No, that's not the church. It's our job to be concerned about that question. It's our job. All of us. See, the Bible says that the church looks like this. When one part suffers, the whole body suffers. When one part succeeds, the whole body succeeds. When one part's concerned, the whole body is concerned. That's the church. You know, I was sharing that with the young girl that leads our missions team, and we were talking about that. You know, do we really suffer here in the Western world, when there's persecution going on in places like Iraq? What does it actually mean for the church to suffer when another part suffers? All right. I think I'll close. Let me pray. Why don't you stand as I pray? That'd be good. Yes, Lord. Lord, we thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, that you sent your Son to die for us so that we might have life and have it in abundance. Lord, we're so thankful for that. And Lord, when we stand and we say, God, we give you our life, and then you go and give our life straight back to the lost. Lord, sometimes that can be so challenging. Lord, but I pray that we would understand what it means that God, you haven't given us a mission, but God, you've actually given us for the mission. You've actually given us to the world. You've given us to them so that they might know hope, so that they might see a way through, so that they might find the light. Lord, I thank you that you have done that. But Lord, I pray that we would have a new revelation of what that means, Lord, what it means that our lives have been given for this, Lord, and that we are called to represent you, Lord, and that we are your arms, your feet. We are you in this community, Lord. You've called us to represent you, Lord, and Lord, we want to be a church that represents you well, Lord, in every area. Lord, we want to be a church that is outrageously generous. Lord, is unrelenting in our love, Lord, for one another, but also for the lost, Lord, that we would represent you well and in our love for one another, Lord, that people would see something in us, see something in the way that we operate, in the way that we do life together, in the way that we do mission together, that they would say we need to be a part of that. We need to know what they've got. And Lord, we're so thankful that what we've got is you. And Lord, we don't want to be selfish with what we've got, Lord. Lord, we want to be outrageously generous with you, Lord, and showing them, showing this world, showing Lower Hutt City how good you are. So, Lord, we thank you for all that you're going to do in this place, Lord. We thank you that Lower Hutt City is going to be changed, Lord. We thank you that there are lives tomorrow, this afternoon, Tuesday, every day of the week, there are lives ready to be impacted with your love. Lord, we make a stand and say, send us, Lord. We will be a church that goes. We will be a church that goes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Yeah. Great.
Awesome. Thank you, Michael. That was fantastic. That was inspiring. You know, what really spoke to me this morning, just in the context of that, is that mission is going to come out of joy and lead towards joy. Isn't that exciting? Can you capture that today? Something's going to light a fire inside your heart and you're not going to be able to resist it. In fact, you're going to run to it. You're going to say, come on, oh, I'm excited. And joy starting to... Can you feel that? Can you feel that this morning? I can. I can feel that this morning. Coming out of joy and leading to joy. I say, bring it on. Bring it on. Bring it on. Bring on this year. Bring on this year. Amen. Let's sing the song as we finish off today.
Have to draw me.